howdy ho there, Quarantinerinos. It's Nate, the Vinyl Guide. It's a weird friggin' week to be alive. I'm right there with you. It's just confusing and confronting and amazing all at once. Most people seem to be doing the right thing and trying not to spread this godforsaken virus. So well done to you all for being able to stay indoors and not go too crazy yet. I do want to highlight that there are, and you guys all know this anyway, there's a lot of bands who've canceled their gigs, who are now deeply in debt because of canceled tours. They were hoping to pay off that debt because of vinyl and merch sales. And really, we need as a community to help protect many of our cultural touchstones out there. Let's think about the sort of businesses we want to support and the sort of people and environment and organizations we want to see go through this so we can enjoy them when we get to the other side of this goddamn thing. So I tell you what, I'm going to be opening the facebook.com/vinylguide site to any and all bands and record shops. If you have something to promote, you got a Bandcamp link, you got some vinyl you want to sell, we can help you do it. We've got quite a large community at facebook.com/vinylguide. Send me a link, nate@thevinylguide.com. And hopefully I can figure out what it is you guys have there. I'll put it on facebook.com/vinylguide. Hopefully we can be sharing some stuff. And of course, you know, if you've got some dough and you could splash it around a little bit and buy some vinyl, these bands would absolutely love that. Buy a t-shirt. Let's help keep these folks in business and keep them going so we get on the other side of this friggin' virus and have a great time. So there it is. If you're in a band, you got a record shop, you got a music business, send me an email, nate@thevinylguide.com. I'll put it on our facebook.com/vinylguide page, and let's all get through this together, people. Now, speaking of supporting the arts, here are the sponsors of this show that you can go help support if you can. Groovewasher.com. Get the best vinyl record cleaning kit shipped directly to your door from groovewasher.com. Here's a 10% off discount code, VinylGuide10 at groovewasher.com. That'll get you 10% off anything at groovewasher.com. VinylGuide10. We're also brought to you by Seams Easy Record Jacket Repair Strips. Seam splits are fixed with no worries with Seams Easy Strips from SeamsEasy.com. That's Seams Easy with two Z's, SeamsEasy.com. That's Seams Easy Record Jacket Repair Strips. They're hella handy. Make your record jacket like new at SeamsEasy.com. Also, don't forget to visit AudiophileUSA.com, the family-owned online record shop that sells only excellent and near-mint records. Never have a doubt of the quality of record you're getting at AudiophileUSA.com. With over 42,000 titles in stock and more coming every day, AudiophileUSA.com will help connect you with your final vinyl upgrades. That's AudiophileUSA.com. Go there now and find your holy grail. So now let's talk about today's episode. We are speaking with the always interesting Buzz Osborne of Melvins. And right now, King Buzzo is building up to the release of his second solo album, Gift of Sacrifice, with Trevor Dunn. It's a really cool album. I've been listening to the digital files the last few weeks, and I am patiently awaiting my pink vinyl copy, which I ordered from ipecac.com. It is being released on May 15th, so go over there now and get your copy as well. This conversation with Buzz was recorded on Friday, March 20th, while Buzz and I were both practicing social distancing to the extreme. Buzz was locked up in his house in Los Angeles. I was in my house in Sydney, and we talked about a great many things. And of course, Buzz being Buzz is happy to take the conversation in a variety of directions, which I believe you'll all enjoy. Now, what you'll hear today is about 2/3 of our discussion. However, I have the full untrimmed version available for Vinyl Guide patrons at patreon.com/vinylguide. Supporters of the show get access to extended conversations as well as other online exclusives, secret episodes, extended interviews, and heaps more. Plus, all the money from patreon.com/vinylguide goes to the funds to rebuild from the Australian bushfires. That crisis seems so long ago now, doesn't it? But we still need to help these communities. So for the full conversation with Buzz and so much more, and to help the recovery efforts from the Australian bushfires, join the Vinyl Guide Patreon community at patreon.com/vinylguide. So without further delay, here is our conversation with Buzz Osborne, a.k.a. King Buzzo.
This is King Buzzo from the band The Melvins. You're listening to The Vinyl Guide.
All good?
All good. Where are you at?
Sydney.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. It's a small backwater community here.
Sydney. Is that in the Western Hemisphere?
Our toilet goes the other way around. It's the Coriolis effect.
Well, not for lack of trying.
No. Depends what you eat, really.
You don't sound like you're from Sydney.
No. I moved here about 20 years ago. I'm actually from Santa Cruz, San Jose.
You're a beach creep.
Well, I moved here about 20 years ago, and you've been here. It's a hard place to leave.
I've been there many times. I have some very good friends in Sydney.
Excellent. Do you think we'll ever see you again?
Oh, I'd love to think so. If we survive the virus, maybe. Yeah. I think it's only killing baby boomers, and I'm right under the edge. So.
Oh yeah, we'll have a lot of land to choose from after this is all done.
I know. We might be able to pick up some property on the cheap.
Yeah, I've always wanted a brownstone in Brooklyn. Yeah.
You'll be able to buy a fleet of them. No one will care, but you'll be able to buy them, you know?
So how are things there? You're in Southern California, yeah? What's it like this week?
Los Angeles, yeah.
What's it like this week? How is the coronavirus treating you?
Well, I haven't got it yet. I'm doing my best to avoid it. I'm not sure if anyone really knows what is going on. I think it's a change almost hourly, everything. So I tend to not be, I take it seriously as far as like the communicableness of the whole thing and the transmission. But beyond that, I mean, our governor of California certainly isn't standing up with a bunch of hardcore scientists or physicians when he's making his proclamations to us all. So. I don't know. You know, it seems weird to me. Yeah. I mean, I think California is the eighth biggest economy in the entire world, I believe. Yeah. You know, and that there's something he could do, as far as like, you know, I'm going to put a bunch of money towards figuring out how to kill this thing. But he doesn't seem to be saying that. He just wants to kill business for some reason. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what needs to be done. I think isolation will work. It certainly could slow the transmission. There's no question. I mean, if you see 25 people in a day and you cut it down to 8. Or you cut it down to 2, that's going to lower your odds of getting it astronomically.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's gonna have an effect on this. No question. And also, physicians aren't totally incapable of doing anything for this. You know, so their efforts will be rewarded. They are saving people. They are doing more than nothing. So I don't know how they would computer model those kinds of things into it. You know, well, isolation will work, and physicians can actually do something for some people. That will work. And how do they figure it into their doomsday prophecies? You know what I mean? I don't see how that happens. I mean, if everybody's isolated, they'd have to show me how it's going to continue to spread to 50% of the population. That doesn't make sense.
So how is it changing what you're doing day to day? I mean, you're obviously inside. You're isolating yourself. Is there any change in your routine these days? Were you supposed to be out touring right now?
I had surgery a couple of weeks ago, so I had planned on the surgery. So I was going to be out, and then I was going to start my solo tour on for this record on May 13th, right around the time it come out. Mm-hmm. But that's up in the air now. I haven't canceled it yet, but the chances of it discontinuing without any trouble at all are probably pretty slim. I have confirmed shows, so I don't see any reason to try to reschedule at this point. I'll probably make a decision for the May shows. Unless they say nothing can happen during the whole entire month of May, then I would jump my tour up to June 1st if I had to. And then if they say nothing can happen in June, then I would maybe just do the West Coast in July, which is all that's what my tour is routed. But I don't know. I mean, I really don't have any interest in canceling the whole thing. There's no way I could reschedule it by the end of the year. No chance of that happening, you know? Yeah. Virtually no chance. Every band on Earth is out there trying to do that right now.
So what's your best guess on how this plays out in the next 6 to 12 months?
Well, I kind of have a feeling they're going to figure something out that'll help with this thing within the next few weeks, at least to some degree. Maybe not a vaccine, but some combination of drugs that already exists that's going to kind of work. I tend to believe that.
Asbestos. Watch it be asbestos.
It'll be asbestos, yeah. Yeah. Chocolate and cigarettes. That's what'll do it. You know? Severe lack of chocolate and cigarettes and caffeine. And those three things, it just kills it right there, you know? So I kind of believe that they'll figure something out, and I think that the isolation will work to curb it. There's no way it can't work, you know? I think you're going to see, you know, economic challenges. They're going to last well into 2021, I would guess, as a result of this, all over the whole world.
Let's talk about Gift of Sacrifice, because I actually do.
Yeah, the only reason we're talking about this right now, I normally wouldn't, is because of the flavor of what's happening in the world right now, you know?
In terms of Gift of Sacrifice, so you're not moving the release date. It's still, what, May 15th?
No, we've talked about that in great detail, and I don't really see any reason to. I've done a bunch of press already with it. I'll just put it out, see what happens. If I can do some touring, I will. If I can't, I won't. It's not the end of the world, you know? Hopefully we'll make it through economically. Mm-hmm. One way or another. And I'll just play it by ear, you know? I mean, we're entertainers, by and large, and generally in times of depression, once they get a chance to, entertainers do okay because people want to feel better, you know? Mm-hmm. They want guys like me to go out there and do stuff to take them out of the depressing nature of their life, right? You know? Whatever it may be under those circumstances, and I will do my best to do that. I will try to give them, I always do. We always have prided ourselves on trying to give people something they don't get in their normal life.
I would imagine an artist like yourself, who's, you know, been very diligent, built up quite a significant fan base,
yeah.
I think you'd be all right, because the shows that you do are not these $150, $200 shows. You know,
No. $20 shows are not going to be really affected by this. I mean, you know, if we do shows for $20, I think we'll be fine. Or whatever, $30, $20. It's $150. Those guys are going to have to learn a lesson. You know, at this point, they're going to have to learn a lesson. That will all change, too. I mean, that's the market. If people want to pay that to see a band, then they will tell you that. You know, the secondary market will also show you what people are willing to pay. And I've always felt as long as I undercut the secondary market, then we're doing good.
Have you gone through a situation like this? Like, how was 9/11 for Melvins? Comparable?
It was fine because, within a couple of days of that happening, people were ready to party. They've been sitting there watching that stuff. Well, I was on tour with Santamas when that happened, and in the U.S. And it happened. We had 2 days off, and then we played for traveling, and then we played our first show. And it was packed, and they were hammered because they'd been sitting at home watching all this crap for 2 days on the news, and they were ready to do something different. Who can blame them, you know? Super depressing. I understand that. I get it. You know, we are working-class dudes. That's what we are. You know, that's the place we come from. I totally get how that works and how people think, and I understand collecting. I understand record being a fan of music. I understand art. I understand all the stuff that we do. I get it. I understand where it comes from, why it happens, why it's important, what our role is. I don't feel like I have a misunderstanding of our place in the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm totally fine with it. Totally fine with it. So 9/11 really didn't do too much as far as that's concerned. I mean, there was a lot of concern with security at shows, and then that show that happened in Paris where those lunatics came in and blasted a whole bunch of people, you know?
Oh, Eagles of Death Metal, that one, yeah.
Yeah, we had played that club a few weeks before that. You know? I think that kind of freaked us out more than anything else, you know? That exact same place. So, that was weird, as you can imagine. You're thinking about gun-toting maniacs coming in and blasting a bunch of people, you know, with obviously guns they didn't buy in the open market because guns are illegal in France, you know? So where did they get them? I don't know. It's anybody's guess. So there's not really much you can do about that other than maybe have security be a little more diligent in who they let in and out of the club. I mean, if somebody walks up with a machine gun and starts blasting people to get in, there's not really much you can do.
There's about half a dozen of them, I think, too. So yeah, there was no way, unless you're going to turn the whole every gig into a security state.
He could, and if they, you know, if it had been a policeman's ball, there would have been, they wouldn't have gotten too far. You know, they'd have gotten lit up pretty quickly.
I mean,
like in the old West, that wouldn't have happened. Those guys would have all been shot by the patronage. You know. You know what I mean?
Well, half the crowd would have had guns. Is that the thinking there?
Well, in the Old West, everybody was armed. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff wouldn't have happened. They'd have been killed by somebody. They may have killed a few people, but somebody in the audience would have killed them. You know?
Did you make any changes after that gig in terms of your security or your personal?
No, not really. I mean, we just kind of figured that was probably not something that was going to normally happen. I personally believe that there's not really a whole lot of people in the world that are willing to kill themselves for absolutely no reason at all. You know, I think there's are lunatics that will do that, but I think that's exception, not the rule. You know, it's unwise to assume that there's armies of those people walking around. You know, it doesn't scare me as far as that's concerned. I think that, as long as you keep your wits about you and are careful, I don't really know what else you can do. I mean, you know, people rob banks and stuff at gunpoint, and you know, Mexico is certainly a very violent place. I don't know what you can do, what you could do. I'm not really sure if there's anything you could do. You know, it's unfortunate. I would like to think the police would do their job, whatever that may be, but I don't know. They're only human too. So
going back to the original point, you feel that in another couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months, your best guess here is that things will start to get back to normal and people will be ready for distractions and then things will slowly go back to normal.
Well, I would like to think, I have a feeling that they'll come across something in the next few weeks that will help it. Maybe not, like I said, maybe not a virus, serum or something that will help,
right.
And then that will change for the better. You know, I mean, I've heard it said that, you know, the best and brightest right now are working on this thing furiously. I believe that.
Sure. Oh,
you know,
totally agree.
I believe that the private sector has every incentive to make this thing work. Whoever comes up with this is going to do really well with it. And it won't be on the order of a bureaucrat, that's for sure, you know. They'll do it on their own. They'll look like heroes and they'll make a lot of money, you know. So it's to their advantage to do that. It's a really good thing to do, and they'll do their best to do it. But it's not going to be because Trump orders it or Biden orders it or the governor of California orders it. No, it'll be private industry that does that. Or I will be seriously surprised if... you know, the government comes up with a reason for that. Comes up with the cure or something that'll help.
No, there's a natural.
Never happened before.
There's there's a absolute natural. It's in everyone's interest. I mean, the people who would do it, and like the Louis Pasteur who would do something and give it away, they would do it for the good of mankind. The people who are in private industry will do it because it means dollars. So everyone is incented to do this.
If I had the ability to do all that stuff, I would do it.
Sure.
I don't know the first thing about chemistry or, you know, diseases. Not at all, you know. But, you know, what they're telling us to do seems like a logical thing. It's going to have it's going to be economically bad for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But we'll just roll with the punches. I can't imagine what it was like for people living through the Second World War or the economic depression in the 1930s in America or all those things. And I think we'll get through this as long as everybody keeps their heads. And nobody goes berserk. And don't expect too much from elected officials, because that's exactly who they are. It's simply elected officials. They're not miracle workers. These are just people. They don't know what to do. You know? I know that. Anybody with half a brain should know that. They're not miracle workers. They're not. You know, mistakes will be made. Problems will happen. Hopefully we can get through this with only, you know, a little bit more trouble, but... if it doesn't happen, I believe that, you know, in the Western world, Australia and America, by and large, are good places, and they have good people in them. At least that's been my experience. And I think that when it really comes down to it, there's a lot more good people out there than there are bad.
You can see it in some places where people are starting to come together and, you know, look after the elderly and look after the, you know, some yeah. of, like here in Australia, we've started having grocery stores open hours only for the elderly people so they can come in and shop without getting stampeded and everything. So
That all happened on the store. The stores did that on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the government didn't tell them to do it. The stores just decided to do it. You know, that's cool. Yeah, that kind of thing will continue to happen. It will. It will. I'll do it. You know, I only feel like my reach can go as far as the people that I'm around. And the people that I'm around, I will do everything in my power to take care of whatever needs to happen. Mm-hmm. I will do my best to take care of the people that I feel the closest with. And I think if everybody did that, then we could get through just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry on a global level. Worry about what you can do. What can you do? You know, what are you capable of doing, you know? And just take it from there. And even if it's a little tiny small thing, all those little small things add up and make a difference.
Exactly. Check with your neighbors, especially the old ones. Are they sorted? Yeah. Do they have what they need? Do they need something picked up from the shops? If you're buying a pizza, buy a second one for them.
Don't panic. Don't do anything stupid.
No. And enjoy Netflix for a while. You need a rest.
Exactly. And it was really funny. I'm really good friends with a guy that works with us in England. He stores all of our equipment over there for our European tours. And he said, he lives in Bristol. He said the first thing that sold out in Bristol in the stores before food was all the alcohol. Sold out first, you know. I'm like, damn straight it did, you know. Because the booze was long gone. Plenty of food left still, you know, before the food ever, you know, now I think it's gone, but I mean, or it's depleted. But he goes, the alcohol was the first thing to go.
Now,
you gotta love it.
Did you have to stock up on anything? Did you have a little bit of extra?
Oh, we have some food, but we usually have, like, we're not big on doing a bunch of shopping all the time. So we, a lot of times, have extra food anyway, you know?
Okay.
We bought a little bit here and there. We certainly didn't go in a panic, you know, buying up shopping carts full of food. I mean, I'm not too worried. You can just do some intermittent fasting. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's good for you.
Yeah.
You know? At least that's the way I see it. I'm not tremendous. I'm worried about getting it. Am I, you know, I kind of have my lungs are susceptible to infection. But I don't think I'll die. I think I would have a hard time with it, but I don't think I'll die. So under those circumstances, if, you know, the best thing to do would be to isolate somewhat, that's fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seems just like you're just being prudent, you know, but like thinking the world's going to end or, you know, buying up 4 years of food, you know, supplies, or just buying everything possible. Maybe it'll work. I don't know. I think you might be disappointed, but at least you'll have food for a while.
So in your day-to-day, it sounds like it hasn't disrupted you too much. You plan to have this time down anyway. Are you now spending more time songwriting? Is it inspiring you at all to do anything different?
Yeah, you know, we're doing a lot of organizing at our house. How about that?
Spring cleaning.
We're sitting indoors. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're doing a lot of work here. Me and my wife does a lot of work. We do a lot of letterpress printing at our house and stuff like that. She's got a lot of that stuff done. But honestly, I'm not even sure if my tour is going to happen. So usually we're gearing up with that stuff, with the stuff that I would sell on the tour. But right now, you know, it's like might not even be a tour. So, you know, getting a whole bunch of stuff finished for no reason at all doesn't sound that attractive to me, you know.
Mm. So would you consider like putting more of that stuff online if the tour doesn't happen?
Yeah, we can try doing that. I really wonder how many, you know, economically, how much people are going to have for those sorts of things at this point. It's anybody's guess, I think.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll just have to see what happens. I don't know. I mean, I made this record. I had every intention to go out and tour the whole world with it. Mm-hmm. But that stuff's, you know, put on the back burner. And whether I tour or not, at this point, seems relatively unimportant compared to everything else that's happening. So I try not to look at myself as, oh, poor me. You know, it's just like, nah, you know, I mean, there's a lot to be grateful for, a lot to be thankful for.
So going back to the new album, gives a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How long have you been planning? This is now your second solo album, yeah?
Yeah.
What have you learned from This Machine Kills Artists that you put into Gift of Sacrifice?
Well, what I wanted to do on This Machine Kills Artists was do something that was as simple and raw as possible. And I kind of wanted to prove to myself that I didn't need a whole lot to make it work. You know, I wanted to do it with very little production, just a guitar and a vocal, no other instruments. And I think that worked great on that record. I think it's maybe one or two songs too long, maybe, if I had to come up with something I didn't like about it. But I didn't really consider that at the time. I had all those songs, and that just seemed like the right thing to do, I guess. I don't know. You know. And then we did a whole bunch more work after that with the Melvins. And 5 or 6 years later, I was like, you know, it's time for me to do something like that again. So it would have been January of 2019. I told the guys, you know, 2020, I'm going to be doing a bunch of solo stuff. So let's get as much work as we can done this year on lots of stuff. Because next year, we probably won't be doing it. Mm-hmm. So I gave them everybody plenty of advance notice. It's, you know, then I went to work on what I wanted to do. And I'd already had some ideas about it. I knew I wanted to write some longer songs. I wanted to have it be a little more atmospheric, and I wanted to do something with modular synth.
Was Trevor in the picture at that point, or did he come later in the vision? Okay.
No, Trevor came later. Then I thought, when I had a bunch of the record recorded, it was about a year ago, I guess, I was like, Trevor has a very busy schedule, so it's hard to get him, you know, to get the, you know, basically like getting him to be able to do anything, considering how much he's got going on, is basically like trying to corral a bunch of fifth grade or 5 year olds on big wheels, you know. It's tough. So he had a window of opportunity that was in, you know, around February, March of 2019. And came out, and I go, well, we had talked about maybe touring together. I go, that'd be great if he came out and did maybe we could do a couple songs together or live, or maybe we can record something that we could put out as a tour EP. Mm-hmm. And so that was our initially what we thought we would do when he came out. And so he came out, and we got to work on a few things. And then I was like, well, try playing on this. I'd already had it recorded. He played on one of the songs, and he was here about, I don't know, 3 days or 4 days. And I was like, wow, that came out really good. Well, why don't you try playing on this one? You know, so we just kind of went through till he played on the vast majority of the record. And then I really liked what he had done. He did I had him do a bunch of crazy instrumental stuff that we used on the record as well, with the idea that at that point, then we were like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to go out and do this. We're going to make a record. We're going to do this live, blah, blah, blah. You know? Right. So then we just went full tilt. So I had already had it written, most of the stuff. So it's not really a collaboration along those lines. You know, it's more of he added himself to something I had already started doing.
Yeah, he found the spaces in the music to where he could do his thing.
That's why it's not a King Buzzo, Trevor Dunn record.
Right.
Because I already had it done, pretty much. You know, and then he added stuff to it. So that's kind of the way we looked at it at that point. It's my record featuring you. Yeah. You thought that was fine, which it is. It's technically, that's exactly what it is.
So, Gift of Sacrifice, is it a more personal album, more so than Melvin's? Like, how do you know when you're creating a song that it's a Buzz song or when it's a Melvin song?
Oh, you don't know. I don't know. I just write stuff. And then a lot of the times I'll write stuff on acoustic guitar anyway. I end up being Melvin stuff anyway. So I don't have any idea. I mean, I could play any of our songs on acoustic, no problem. You know, if I wanted to, wouldn't be hard. I mean, there's really not a lot of difference. I thought it was really funny when I read some reviews of the record. It just sounds like what the Melvin sound. Well, it's like, I write that stuff. What the fuck would it sound like?
You don't sound like you too?
Jeez. Duh. Boy, you're like a detective. My God, nothing gets past you. Can't believe you actually picked up on that. Wow. The stuff that I write with the Melvins actually sounds like the stuff that I do on my own. Weird, you know? I wonder if Bob Dylan ever did that. You know?
So the songs for Gift of Sacrifice were the ones that essentially were there at that time. You didn't willfully kind of set them over a few years.
I might have written a few things and thought, well, that would be good for a solo acoustic thing, you know, long before I ever had the idea of that record, you know, and had that catalog that's going to be a solo acoustic thing, mm-hmm. you know, well before. So some of the stuff was specifically written for it, but certainly not all of it.
Is it important for creativity to have some space away from Dale and then come back after some time? Does that help?
Well, I always do my writing on my own anyway. So it's not like I'm writing songs right in front of him, or we're sitting down to write songs together, Lennon and McCartney style. It doesn't ever happen. You know? Right. I'll have an idea for something. We might jam it, and then it'll change, but it's not like we're sitting down in a room together with guitars on trying to figure out songs. I never had that experience with anybody. Not that I wouldn't. It just never seems to happen that way.
How about like the collaboration titles that you do for like Amphetamine Reptile, Melvins and Flipper? Is it, so you don't sit in a room and collaborate and pull things together, songwriting together?
To some degree. I mean, the Flipper ones, a couple of songs are covers. The other one, there's one on there where we wrote the music for it. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote the lyrics separate, you know. Okay. I think Trevor might have came up with the music for one of the songs. And but, you know, we basically just showed them stuff we had, you know, already. It's like, oh, we were thinking about doing this song. We had those guys in the studio for one day. And so me and Dale had some stuff that was already tracked that they could play along with, because we knew we didn't have an infinite amount of time to do anything with them. So it'd be better to get a little ahead of the game, so you have something going on to work on immediately, as opposed to, what are we going to do now? You know what I mean?
It sounds like you have a backlog of songs, even recorded works, that you can continue to draw upon. If you stopped recording today, do you have a couple of albums in the can that you could release over a period of time?
We don't have anything that's completed, but we have a ton of stuff that's in the works.
Okay.
Lots of stuff that's not quite done yet. Lots and lots and lots, you know? That's for sure. That is the truth. No question. I don't even know how much stuff we have that's not done. No idea. Stuff I've completely, because we have our own studio too. So there's stuff that's not finished. Lots and lots of stuff. Lots of different projects that we're working on. Mm-hmm. None of which I don't really want to let the cat out of the bag yet, you know, about them. About exactly what it is. But a couple of them are pretty funny ideas. We're working on a new Melvins 1983 album with the original drummer. That's all his parts are done, because he lives in Washington State.
Oh, it's Dylan?
Dillard.
Dillard, yeah.
Yep, that's almost done. We're done with, I'd say, a little over half of the tracking on that record's done. Mm-hmm. And then we have a bunch of other things along those lines, too. We're doing a collaboration, with the four songs. With me, Dale, and Steven did four songs with Steve and Mark from Mudhoney. That came out really good. That came out so fucking great that we're going to now, after hearing it, those guys were like, we should just do a whole album. So I think that at some point that's going to happen, hopefully in the summer. If things cool out, we'll be able to get back together and finish that. But that came out really, really good. So we'll probably put that out as an EP at some point in the not too distant future. And that's all done. It just has to be mixed. And we have one with this band from Tacoma, Washington, called Helms of Lee, that we really like. That came out really good. I just have to do a little bit of tracking on that and mix it, and then that's done. Oh, God, and then more stuff than I can't even, you know, do we just have just stuff like that? It's never ending. It's a never-ending thing.
I think I saw a post recently where Mackie put out a picture of some new Melvin stuff coming out. It was purple with a target on it.
Oh God, who knows?
There's any so much idea what that is? Is it a singles collection of some sort?
Oh, probably. I have to see it.
Mm. Okay. Are you worried at all that all these tapes of your work exist? Like, if something were to happen to you today, what would happen to those tapes?
I don't know. You know? Oh well, they're still at the recording studio, so they're still there. I mean, if I died today, I'm sure Dale could finish a bunch of stuff on his own, you know, and there's lots of stuff that could come out, sure, you know, no problem. But I don't know. I mean, I try not to. Don't think too much about that kind of thing. It's like legacy or something like that. I don't particularly care too much. I feel like we're a contemporary band who's mm-hmm. not relying on our old songs or, you know, or anything like that. I mean, we like to play old songs. Like, we play about a third. I mean, our live set, it's like one third old, meaning more than 20 years old, one third medium, you know, which is, you know, 15 to 20 to 5, and then a third newer material. That's usually how we set our, try to work out our sets. Mm-hmm. All of us are kind of against bands who, oh, we don't play stuff off our first album. It's like, well, we'll play stuff off our first album if we fucking feel like it. I really don't dislike when bands do that. It's like, well, you know, your stuff on your first album isn't terrible. Why would you want to just not, we don't like it anymore. Okay, well then I don't like it anymore. You know, well, you know what I mean?
I guess what I was getting at is there are bands who come out with posthumous releases. Members go, you know, members pass on, and then all of a sudden there's all the dregs, the songs that they didn't want released, which I always feel very odd about, because if they didn't want it released, why are they releasing it?
Well, I mean, quite honestly, if Dale died or something like that, and that's all I had left, I might do it partially out of sadness that maybe we can get a little more life out of this thing, and partially out of the fact that he's got a wife and kids and maybe they can make a few bucks off of it. Mm-hmm. And we're not too precious with that kind of thing. It's like, really, we don't have a lot of stuff that's finished that hasn't come out. There's not a lot of stuff sitting there that's not, the reason it's not out now is usually because it's not finished, not because we hate it, you know. So there's nothing that, I know there's nothing that we have that if I finished, Dale would feel funny about it coming out, you know.
Right.
Not at all. Neither would I. If they wanted to do that, I'd be totally fine with that, you know. Hopefully that won't happen.
I hope not either.
That's not part of the plan.
I noticed over at AMREP, there's a King Buzzo Trevor Dunn 6-pack CDs, and I think the track listing is a little bit different. Are those, how are those tracks related to the Gift of Sacrifice album?
Well, 6-pack's not on the Gift of Sacrifice. We specifically did that with this EP in mind. We wanted a tour EP that we could sell on the tour that had a little bit different stuff than the record has. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically what that is. And so there's 4 songs on there that are not on the record, and 2 songs that are. One of them is Science in Modern America, and then Moxie's also on there. So we've done that a bunch of times where we do a teaser EP that's hyper-limited to like 300 or 500 copies. They don't go to stores. They don't go, you know, anywhere other than... you can buy them from us at a show, or you can buy them from Hazemeyer mail order.
Yep.
So they're not in record stores. And weirdly enough, no record store ever contacts us and tries to buy them from us, which we would sell them to them. Mm-hmm. But they don't even ask. So, you know, so be it.
Right.
Okay. You know what I mean? So if you guys don't want them, fine with me. You know?
Will there be a Hazemeyer version of Gift of Sacrifice on vinyl?
No, that's the 6-pack EP. That's going to be on vinyl. It's also on CDs.
Okay, so 6-pack will be on vinyl. EP. But I know sometimes Hazelmeyer does some re-releases of Melvin's material. Will there be a Gift of Sacrifice version at this point, or maybe in the future?
Oh, well, not this soon. Ipecac's putting it out, so.
Right.
We'll put out the vinyl version and the CD version. I just got my promo copies today, or last week.
Of the vinyl?
So. No, of the CDs.
Oh, you know. Gotcha.
We may, you know, at some point way down the line, reissue it on vinyl. But we have a couple of those kinds of things coming out now, one of which is Australian recorded Alive at the Fucker Club is coming out on Hazemeyer with limited release.
Oh.
And then Electro Retard will come out as a limited release again.
Okay.
We haven't done that as a limited release yet, but we're going to do that one soon. And then this one, the Mudhoney one, the Helmsley one, lots of stuff lined up. You know?
Great. Now, do you have any vinyl pressed in anticipation of these Gift of Sacrifice shows? Like, let's say they do go forward.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of stuff.
What sort of special road vinyl do you have?
Oh, my God. We'll have, what do we have? We'll have some of the Boner stuff. We'll repackage and have... would have been repackaged and had letterpress covers put on. Mm-hmm. We still have some of the Red Cross vinyl, Melvin Split, a few of those we'll bring with us. And anything else that might be sitting around that I want to sell. I have some test pressings of the six-pack EP that I might want to sell, a few of those. But those would be pretty high priced because I think there's only five of them. So stuff like that. You know, a lot of other things. Lots of letterpress CDs that we do, really fancy packaging for that stuff.
And the only place people can get those is from a Buzz or Melvin show.
Unless someone bought them from us and then took them to a store and sold them.
Right.
You know, it rarely happens. How it works with us is if we see them, if they buy them from us, you don't see them getting flipped. People usually hold on to it. But if they buy them online, generally that's where you see the flipping happen. You know, Well, there's nothing we can do about that, you know. Nothing. I can't stop people from flipping stuff. There's just no way, you know.
Buzz, I want to be respectful of your time. Anything else you want to talk about we haven't talked about?
Well, how are you guys faring down there? Okay, through all this?
Oh, yeah. Look, goddamn. Australia, we've had the bushfires. Then we've had the floods. Then we've had the toilet paper wars. And now we're just kind of settling into this very strange kind of... Look, there's already a lot of distance between people in Australia. So this whole social distancing isn't something... It isn't odd like it is in New York or Los Angeles. It's just... We'll get through.
It's not a whole lot different than what I normally do.
It's actually nice to have permission to do nothing. But look, I'm not worried about the virus. I'm worried about people's reaction to the virus.
Yeah, of course, the panic. The politicians seem to be reacting to the panic, which might be a disaster. But I
I'm worried about the fallout. I'm worried about the, you know, quite honestly, the clubs being able to stay in business.
Oh, they're in trouble.
I'm worried about the musicians that were touring.
Yeah, everybody's in trouble.
I'm really worried about what it's going to look like after this whole thing settles and who's going to be around, not because of death, but just because of business got so bad that people had to, you know, close up shop and do something different.
I agree completely. You know, it's going to be a weird one. There's nothing to really base this on.
No.
You know, there's no, there's going to be a severe learning curve.
Yeah, there's a lot of suppliers who made a lot of t-shirts, tour t-shirts and things like that, that are now just sitting on stock of, you know, 1,000 shirts for a tour that never happened, and they don't know what they're going to do with them. They're in debt.
And
Australia's economy is not the type of thing that can absorb that readily anyway. So it's just on a scale that we're not used to.
Well, you guys have, I believe, population in the entire country that's less than California.
Something like that.
I think so. But the country itself is basically the size of the United States.
That's right. That's right.
So it'd be like if we took the population of California and spread it out over the whole spread it on the East Coast and the West Coast of the U.S., and that was it.
Well, most of the population is within about 6 or 7 cities anyway. So it's like
if
you took the population of California, left them in California, but then everyone else fucked off, then you have Australia.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the thing about Australia that I've always found to be really quite amazing is how welcoming Australians in general are of Americans. Mm-hmm. You know, I've never felt like I wasn't welcome there. I've never felt like I was out of place. I've had lots of Australians say to me, you know, if something goes down, you guys are going to be the ones that help us. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think I just found that to be really refreshing and nice. Mm-hmm. It's like I always felt appreciated there from the first time I went there, and I've never forgotten that, and I never will. And I can't say enough how thankful I am that there's people like that out in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the most U.S.-like place I've ever been, other than animals. You know, it feels like I'm home when I'm there. You
know? Yeah. That's why I've never left. I really like the people here. They're very welcoming, very affable. They like having a good time.
Yeah.
That's their focus, is just having a good life.
Absolutely. And I can't say enough about it. I mean, even somewhere like Perth, which is, you know, one of the most isolated places on the face of the planet. Talk about a weird place, but man, I have always had a great time there. It's strange as it is. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with the shows, the people there or anything, but I am nothing but totally supportive and thankful for all of my experiences I ever had there. You
So, Buzz, we really hope you get a chance to make some more memories here, and hopefully this whole virus thing blows over soon. Everyone, King Buzzo's album, Gift of Sacrifice, featuring the amazing Trevor Dunn. We didn't even get to talk about Trevor and his bass playing. He is incredible. So maybe next time. Gift of Sacrifice, King Buzzo and Trevor Dunn, available on Ipecac Records. Order a copy at ipecac.com. There's a special pink vinyl that you can get for you collectors out there. There's also the black, and there'll be some tour pressings, as I understand. And there's also the six-pack, King Buzzo and Trevor Dunn six-pack CDs on Amphetamine Reptile Records. You can
and 12-inch.
And okay, I didn't even know about the 12-inch. So can you get those on? Can you get those online already?
Not yet. Just about to.
Okay, everyone, stay posted at oxop.com. Buzz, thank you so much, and hopefully we'll get you back on the road shortly.
Can't wait. Thank you so much. Talk to you later.
All right, there we go. Mr. Buzz Osborne, a.k.a. King Buzzo. Really, the new album, Gift of Sacrifice, with Trevor Dunn is quite remarkable. Again, I've been listening to these digital files. I can't wait to get my vinyl copy. You can get one, too, at ipecac.com or head over to facebook.com/Melvin's Army. There's all sorts of links over to Amphetamine Reptile to be able to pick up the six-pack CD and possibly vinyl in a very close future date, what it sounds like. Just facebook.com/Melvin's Army. You'll get all the skinny on all the cool stuff there. And that's it for this week's episode of The Vinyl Guide. Make sure to head over to facebook.com/vinylguide. We're going to be listing all sorts of bands and links to Bandcamp things where you can purchase some vinyl and help some of these artists make it through this friggin' weird COVID-19 quarantine period. These bands need your support and you need their records. Also, if you are at a record shop and you are open, you want to talk about any of the items that you have for sale or the stuff you want people to know about, again, send your links to nate@thevinylguide.com. I'll make sure to put them up on facebook.com/vinylguide. Till we talk next time, keep spinning. Cheers.